As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to everything that he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's bow our heads, shall we, and ask for the Lord's help as we look at this story together. Father in heaven, we've sung that your word can do powerful things. And we want to come like children today, looking for the teaching and correcting of you, our Father. Please may we be transformed today. Would we see more clearly the beauty of Jesus? And would we be those who choose what is best? And we ask it in his name. Amen. As I was preparing for today, I discovered a random fact this week, which is that an average adult, which I presume is most of us, an average adult will make around 35,000 conscious choices in a day. Now, when I heard that, I thought, I don't have enough time in a day to make 35,000 conscious choices. But we are making choices all the time. What colour socks am I going to put on today? What clothes am I going to wear? What am I going to eat for breakfast? What do I do because of the time? You're constantly choosing things. And as we come to this story of Mary and Martha today, really what it boils down to is it's a story about how you make a good choice. How you make not just a good choice, but the best choice. See, have a look with me at verse 42. We're just going to leap straight to the end of the story. The very last sentence, Jesus says, "Mary has chosen what is better, the best thing, and it will not be taken away from her." As we make these 35,000 choices in a day, my guess is that we instinctively choose what's best. You know, we're not going to pick the worst thing, are we? So if there's a, you know, imagine walking, it's church lunch, there's a cake that's been cut up. It's not been cut with a great accuracy, and there are different size pieces. What do you do when you go up to that plate? You're kind of sizing every piece up, and you're thinking, which is the biggest? Which is the best portion? Obviously, I don't do that myself, you know, but that's what we're like, isn't it? We instinctively pick the best. Or, you know, perhaps you're thinking, oh, I've got to get something for someone for Christmas, And if you're going to buy something new, you don't just go out to the shop and buy the first thing you find. If you're anything like me, you read all the reviews and you think, what's the best? How can I buy the best thing? And that's what we do. We instinctively pick the best. And out of those 35,000 choices that you make in an average day, here's my question. What is the best thing that you can choose? What is the best choice that you can make? And the best choice, very simply, as we come to this story, is to listen to Jesus. In this story, we meet two sisters. It's a very simple story. In fact, my kids, I read a kids' Bible with them, and it's one of those kind of stories that they manage to eke out over lots of pages. You know, you've got Martha in the kitchen, you know, just whipping up the things and flour everywhere, and you've got Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. But you've got two sisters. And the thing I want to tell you about these two sisters is they both love Jesus. It's very easy to villainize them. If you're familiar with this story, you kind of think, oh, Mary, she's the good one. And Martha, oh, naughty Martha. And you kind of think, well, Mary's the Christian and Martha's the non-Christian. But actually, they're both followers of Jesus. They both love Jesus. Now, let me show you how I know that. Look at verse 38. Jesus and his disciples are on their way. They are traveling to Jerusalem. And what does Martha do? When Jesus and the disciples come their way, what does she do for them? She opens her home. J- Jesus comes in her direction and she welcomes him in. She uses what she has and she says, Jesus, I want to put this at your disposal. Her excitement for Jesus, her love for Jesus overspills in that she just says, Jesus, this is my home. I'm going to cook you a meal. I love you. She overspills with service. That's how her excitement is seen. Now, I know she goes on to get a telling off, and we'll think about that in a minute. But don't miss the fact that Martha is someone who loved Jesus enough to say, look, what I have, my home, my food, my time, my resources, Jesus, I'm going to use them for you. And then there's Mary. Look at verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to Jesus. Mary chose not to kind of busy herself, but her love for Jesus overspilled in her taking the position of someone who wants to learn from Jesus. So we might think it an odd thing to sit at someone's feet, but that was the position that someone took when they said, I want to learn from you. You would sit at someone's feet if you were their disciple. If you say, look, you've got good things to say and I want to listen. She had taken the position of someone who said, Jesus, I want you. I want to know you. I want to know what you say. I want to grow to know you. See, you only grow to know people as you listen to them, don't you? I would not get to know you if you'd said nothing to me. You would just be this person sitting there. But it's our words that enable us to get to know someone. So Mary sits at the feet of Jesus because she's saying, ultimately, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to listen to what you've got to say. I want to hear what you've got to say. Two sisters, Mary, Martha, two choices. One overspills in service for Jesus. The other sits and listens to Jesus. One, if I can put it like this, is serving her socks off. And the other one is sitting at the socks of Jesus. There's two ways to think about it. One is kind of really busy. Busy, busy, busy for Jesus. And the other one is sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening. Now I want to leap quickly back to the end of the story. Will you have a look with me? Verse 42. After this little telling off, which we'll think about, Jesus declares over Mary's choice to sit at his feet that she has chosen what is better. Now literally in the original language, that phrase is that she has chosen the good portion. That's what the phrase means. She has chosen the best piece of cake, the biggest piece of cake, the most kind of enviable piece of cake that everyone wants to go and grab from the plates. There's a play on words. You've got Martha. Martha is serving up a meal, isn't she? She's busy. Food. She's getting a meal ready for Jesus. That's a good thing. That's how she was expressing her love. But then there's another meal on offer in this story. And the other meal that's on offer is Jesus' words. And Mary, as she looks at these two plates of food, I can cook up dinner with Martha, or I can eat what Jesus is serving up as he teaches. She picks the better portion because she sits at the feet of Jesus and she listens. Jesus is the good portion. Listening to his words is the best choice that we can make. Mary wanted to listen to Jesus. And friends, whilst Jesus is not here in person, whilst we cannot physically sit at his feet today, actually we do still have his words. And so the best choice that we can still make today is to be people who sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he has to say. Now why is that the best choice? Why out of your 35,000 choices in a day, is it the best one to sit and listen to Jesus? Well, look again at verse 42. Few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. There's a big hint here of why listening to Jesus is best. Because you're listening to the one who has eternal value. You're listening to the one who can give you something that can never be taken away. You're listening to the eternal Son of God. You're listening to Jesus. And you're listening to the one who, importantly in this story, is come to give us eternal life. Why is listening to Jesus best? because he's giving us something. He is the source of something that can never be taken away from you. Jesus came, verse 38. Just look again at the way the story starts. Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to the cross and resurrection and ascension and to be received into heaven. Why? So that those who follow him, so those who sit at his feet and listen to him, who say, Jesus, I need you, I want you, receive eternal life. And that's why Jesus says Mary's choice is best. Because as we listen to Jesus, we listen to the one who has the words of eternal life. And what picking to listen to him can never be taken away. If you think about this in an average day, you know, I don't know if you have this kind of mindset, but sometimes you pick things and you use the phrase, well, that was a waste of time. You ever done that? Oh man, I wish I hadn't done that. You know, I was over at the post office in just off 4th Street picking a parcel up because I'd missed it here. And this lady came in, she walked miles to this post office. And she picked something up and it was just this screwed up bit of paper that someone had sent to her as a joke. And she was fuming. She was just like, I've walked all this way for this? That is a waste of time. But when you sit at the feet of Jesus and you listen to him, it is not a waste of time. It is not like walking to the post office and picking up a little scrap of paper that's no good to anyone. Listening to Jesus is something that will never be taken away from you because he says what we need to hear. He says how to gain eternal life as we trust him. Jesus is a man at this point in Luke's story who is moving around with the message of the kingdom of God. And Mary says, I want to listen to what he's got to say. Time with Jesus is never wasted time. And if you are a follower of Jesus here this morning, then out of those 35,000 choices that you will make in a day, can I be as blunt to say that make sure that one of them, at least one of them, is to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. To sit like Mary and adore Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to learn from you. I want to know you. I want to listen to what you've got to say. And if you're not a follower of Jesus here this morning, if that's not where you are yet, then can I say to you that becoming a follower of Jesus starts with and continues with sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening what he has to say. Because it's only as you listen to Jesus will you discover that it's through faith in him and what he did at the cross will your sins be forgiven. It's only as you put your faith in him and sit at his feet and listen to him that you'll discover what it means to have eternal life. Think about Mary's choice. Jesus comes into the room. Her instinct is to sit at his feet and listen. And if we're honest here this morning, all of us, that has not been our natural choice in life, has it? By nature, we don't sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he's got to say. And because of that, actually, we don't deserve eternal life. But Jesus, this is the wonderful thing about this story. Jesus came into this world and was walking the path to the cross so that people like us who by nature don't stop and listen to God who made us, by nature, those who refuse to listen, he came so that sinners like us could be forgiven for not listening to him and that we could be welcomed into heaven as his disciples. And becoming a follower of Jesus starts with sitting at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry that I haven't listened. I'm sorry that I've not given you the attention that you deserve. Please help me to stop and sit and listen to what you've got to say. I'm listening. That's how someone becomes a follower of Jesus. And actually from there, it's a life that then continues sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening. So let me ask you this morning, are you listening to Jesus? Are you genuinely listening to Jesus? I would encourage you this week, it's a very simple story, but I would encourage you to take some Mary moments in the busyness of your week to stop out of your 35,000 choices in a day. Stop and listen to Jesus because that is the best choice. And that choice, friends, will start in here. It will start with a heart that says, Jesus is someone I need to listen to. Jesus is the one who is eternal. He is the Son of God and he has the words of eternal life. It starts here. But then it will become deliberate action. This stopping and listening to Jesus isn't suddenly going to miraculously happen in your day. You're going to have to be deliberate about doing it. You choose it. And actually, maybe Gareth did something really helpful last week at the front of church, but there's a ton of Bible reading notes at the back over there. And you can sign up and get some. Maybe you're thinking, oh, I'd love to listen to Jesus a bit more, but I'm just not sure how to go about it. Well, very simply, you get the Bible open. That's way number one. But maybe you want some help reading the Bible. Well, go and sign up for some of those notes. See Gareth afterwards. He'll help you. Friends, we need to be, as a church family, those who are sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. That is the best choice that we can make, individually. But as a church, we need to take Mary moments. This should not be the bit of church gathering that we endure. This should be the bit we come for. Why? Because we want to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he has to say to us. We say, Jesus, teach me. Jesus, we want to know you. Take some Mary moments this week. And why is that being cross-shaped, listener? Because actually, if you understand the value of what Jesus was doing at the cross, why would you listen to anyone else? Because Jesus came to bring us eternal life. And when you stop and you listen to him, it will not be taken away from you. No time with Jesus is wasted time. So choose to listen to Jesus this week. But then here's the second thing about the best choice we can make. It actually means we need to avoid distractions. Some distractions have disastrous consequences, don't they? So there's a big push at the moment on texting and driving. Why? Well, because if you're texting and driving, you're going to get distracted and going to smash into something or someone. It's disastrous. I'm terrible at being distracted. My wife will tell you that if the TV's on in a room, then I can't talk to anyone. It's just this kind of like, like suddenly it draws my eyes like a magnet and I just cannot engage with anyone in the room. It distracts me. But have a look with me, will you, at verse 40. Look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted by the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Mary? Where's Mary? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. Martha? Well, what's she doing? Well, it starts well, doesn't it? Jesus, here's my home, and I want to cook you a meal, and I want to look after the disciples, I want to serve you. But just look, can you just slow down with me in verse 40? I really want you to see this in the Bible. Martha is distracted. Now, that word, I guess we have a picture for what that means, but it literally means, in its original language, this idea of being pulled away. Okay, so imagine that I'm here, and I've got a rope tied around my waist, and then John's over here, and he's pulling me. He's tugging me this way. Now, what's going to happen? So I should be standing here, but if John's pulling me this way, apart from a hint to end the sermon, it will be like I'm being pulled away from what I should be doing. Do you see that picture? Now, Martha, just look at that language. Martha is being pulled away from what? From sitting and listening to Jesus. Do you see that's what she's being distracted from? That's the best choice she could have made on that day. But she's being pulled away. Now, what's pulling her? What's on the end of the rope? Have a look carefully at the verse. What's on the end of the rope? The preparations that had to be made. That word preparations is a word that's translated lots of times in the New Testament, service. Or let me put it like this, perhaps you'll know this word better. It's her ministry. That's how we translate the word sometimes. Her ministry for Jesus is the very thing that's pulling her away from listening to Jesus. Do you see that? It's shocking, isn't it? But as Martha gets engrossed in all the preparations that need to be made, getting dinner ready, you know, cake needs to be made and flour and dough needs to be kneaded and mixed and carrots chopped, and you know, there she is, she's getting more and more frantic in the kitchen. As she throws herself into the service of Jesus, it's dangerously distracted her, pulled her away from listening to Jesus. reminds me, my little TJ, who's in one of the rooms, the one out there, I think, it reminds me of this occasion when she was so excited that my sister was coming around. My sister turned up and she kind of exploded with joy. And out of delight that my sister had arrived, she ran upstairs and she busied herself in her bedroom drawing a picture for my sister. So there she is, she's upstairs. Oh yes, Katura's downstairs. Yeah. But all that time, she missed out on spending time with my sister because my sister was only there for a short while. She comes running and says, I made you a picture. And she'd missed all that time. Do you see that? That out of her love for doing something for my sister, she'd completely been drawn away from spending time with my sister. Now, friends, let me just say very up front, how easily is it, and you'll know this, how easily is it that the everyday busyness of life can draw you away from listening to Jesus? Many things in life, the preparations that need to be made. And I'm sure even as we get close to Christmas, you're thinking, oh, there's so much to do, so many presents to buy, and there's so many things to organise. Preparations! Life is busy! But actually, they are the thing that can squeeze out our time, our choices to stop and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. There is always something, isn't there, to pull you away? Getting the kids ready for school. So just take an average day, 35,000 choices. It's before school. Got to get the kids ready, because you don't get yourselves ready. That doesn't seem to happen. They're all shaking their heads over here. No, we protest. We don't get ourselves ready for school. But kids, you know, there they go. They need you, and you're there, and maybe that's your world, and it's morning time, and you know you should have stopped and listened to Jesus, but pulled away, because you've got to get the lunchboxes ready, and the shoes ready, and the clothes on, and yeah, go. You're distracted. You're pulled away. Maybe it's caring for someone that you love. You know, perhaps some of us here are in that position where we have to care for someone who's in great need. And it's such a distraction, it can really fill our time. Things of life, pressures of work, need for sleep, things to prep for church. You've got a minis talk to write, you've got a skids talk to write, you've got food to cook for church lunch. There are friends to call, emails to write, there are exams to revise for, etc., etc. Our lives are full of things. Busy. Preparations to be made. And there's a danger that those things can pull us away from the best choice that we can make in a day, which is to stop and listen to Jesus, which is something that can never be taken away. And can I say that is true if you're a follower of Jesus this morning? So if you're a follower of Jesus, perhaps you know that you should be listening to Jesus in an average day, but how easy is it to get into a Martha situation? Oh, stirring the thing, looking at Mary in the other room. Oh, you know, I've got so many things to do. I'd like to be listening to Jesus, but I'm busy. It's true, isn't it, as a follower? What is it in your life at the moment that is in danger of pulling you away from stopping and sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him? And that's actually true, can I say as well, that's also true if you're not a believer here this morning. The busyness of life can stop you even listening to Jesus in the first place. Oh yeah, I really should explore that Jesus thing a bit more. It sounded really true, but I'm really busy because I've got to go here and I've got to go there. And you never take time. Someone will not become a disciple of Jesus if they do not at some point stop and listen to what Jesus has to say. Because it's his words that bring eternal life. Because they point us to him who died in our place. And we need to beware, don't we, that the worries of this world don't become something that dangerously pulls us away from Jesus this week. And actually, it's a danger that Jesus has already warned about in the Gospels. Back in Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells the story of some seed that gets scattered around. And on one occasion, just let me read you one verse. It says, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear the word. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. That little phrase that Jesus uses, choked by life's worries, is exactly the same word that he uses for Martha in verse 41. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about all kinds of things. Upset this morning? Worried this morning? Overwhelmed this morning by all the things you've got to do in life? Actually, do you know what? Life's distractions can overwhelm us. But Jesus is lovingly saying to us in our Martha moments, and we all have them, right? Busy in our preparations. In those Martha moments, Jesus lovingly says, don't get pulled away from the best thing, which is stopping and listening to Jesus. Now, allow me to push this just a little bit further, okay? Because I think there's something else that we can think about here. Because for some of us in this church family, we would say that we're really busy serving Jesus, okay? Now, that may be that you do something in this local church. It may be that they've got a ministry elsewhere. It may be whatever it is. But we're busy. We're people who are busy serving Jesus. Our love for Jesus, like Martha, has meant that we overspilled. We say, Lord, I'll do this. I'll help on this rota. I'll do this thing. I'll run this group. I'll teach these guys. You know, I want to serve. Martha was doing something for Jesus in this story. She was serving. And actually, you know, what is it that makes you busy? If you think about an average week, for some of us in this church, what makes us busy and feel like life is swamping us is the things that we do for this church family. Busy, busy, busy. Preparations. Got things to be doing for the church. It's busyness. But very quickly, can you spot this with me? Very quickly, the things that she is doing for Jesus pull her away from listening to Jesus. She has started to lose her way. And this story is a gentle warning from Jesus that the same might be or is happening to some of us. Wherever you're serving, wherever you're busy for Jesus. And actually this story, can I just show you, how do you know if that's happening to you? Okay, here's a question. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, I don't know if I'm turning into a Martha. But you know what? This story has some telltale signs for people like us to check whether we're turning into Marthas this morning. Here's the first one. Look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Now here's telltale sign number one. Are you getting frustrated that others aren't helping you with your ministry? Maybe you've had those conversations where you think, why aren't more people helping in church? Why am I so busy doing all these things? Now, if you are starting to think like that, if you're starting to have those little private conversations with others, I don't know why so-and-so is not helping. That's just saying, why won't my sister help me? See, Martha started to get worked up. And there's a telltale sign that our ministry for Jesus might be pulling us away from Jesus. Have a look with me at the next verse. Actually, we get here a little glimmer of something else. Look at verse 40 again. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister left me to do the work by myself? Actually, she starts to think that the Lord Jesus doesn't care for her, doesn't care about what she's doing. Now, here's another telltale sign. Is that how you're starting to think about your ministry? Does Jesus really care about what I'm doing? Does Jesus really care that I run this kids group or I cook all this food for church lunch? Or does Jesus really care that I spend all this time going out on the streets? Actually, when our ministry for Jesus is pulling us away from Jesus, we start to think, well, maybe Jesus doesn't care. And actually, look at verse 40 again. Look at the very last thing she says to Jesus. Tell her to help me. Now here's another telltale sign that you might be turning into a Martha. Actually, what does she call Jesus? Here you go, a bit of interaction. What does she call Jesus at the very start of that sentence? Lord. Now a Lord is someone who tells you what to do, not the other way around. And Martha, in her frustrations, you know, you can imagine it. She's got flour in her hair. She's got food all down her apron. She stormed out to Jesus. And she says to the Lord, the one who has every authority in heaven and on earth. She says, Jesus, this is what you should be doing. She says, Jesus, get on board with what I'm doing. Tell her to help me. You see how she's turned it round? Now here's a danger. You might be turning into a Martha if you start telling Jesus what he should do. Jesus, you get on board with my ministry. Jesus, don't you care? Don't you know that this group needs more helpers? That my ministry needs more people? Jesus, let me tell you what to do. Do you see how it started to get distorted? Why? Because her ministry, her service for Jesus, has started to pull her away from Jesus. Verse 41. So I'm still going. I'm like poking a bear this morning, but this is what it might be. Verse 41. Look what Jesus says to her. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. Here's another sign that you might be turning into a Martha. That your ministry overwhelms you. You're worried and upset about it. It's the thing that consumes you. It's the thing you go to bed thinking about. It's the thing that knots you up in your stomach. It's the thing you get kind of worried about as you talk to others. Now, if that is true, just take it as a gentle hint this morning that maybe the things you are doing for Jesus are pulling you away from Jesus. Overwhelmed might be a sign. And the last thing Jesus says in verse 42, have a look there with me, that another telltale sign is he reminds her, look at the very first sentence, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Now, that's needed for salvation. But maybe Martha has just started to think that what she's doing for Jesus starts to win the affection of Jesus. And Jesus just gently reminds her, actually, do you know what, Martha? I don't need your service for you to get to heaven. I came and I went to the cross and I rose again that you might go to heaven. Our service does not earn God's favour. Our service does not make us more saved or less saved. And I think Martha had started to lose her way. And friends, if your ministry for Jesus is just very subtly sort of making you think that Jesus should be more pleased with you, then we need to remember that one thing is needed. Listening to Jesus is what saves us. And so, let me ask you this morning, very honestly, those of you that are busy at the church or busy in other ministries, are you having a Martha moment right now? Is your busy, busy, busy for Jesus actually stopping you making the best choice, which is to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to and love the one that you're serving? Serving's not wrong, okay? Please don't hear me. Jesus is not saying Martha's done the wrong thing to serve. But what was wrong was that her service had pulled her away from the best thing, which was listening to Jesus. Now, if those are signs that you see in yourself, can I say take action on it today? Don't leave this room without kind of sorting that out in some way. We're going to have some time down the front in a moment as we finish where you can pray about that. If you can come and talk about that. The last thing as church leaders we want is for you to be in church life, becoming Marthas and storming around the church going, why won't you help me? But actually what we do want to do is to help one another to serve Jesus, but as those who keep making the best choice to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. So here it is, the best choice. 35,000 choices. Tomorrow morning, okay, so it's Monday. I don't count them, by the way. That would be amazing, wouldn't it, if you could count the number of choices you could make in a day. But 35,000 choices you'll make tomorrow, perhaps. Please make one of them to listen to Jesus. And please make the other one to avoid the distractions that stop us doing that. Friends, let's pray, and then we're going to have the Lord's table together.